There are many sources of instruction and information. Some of these are very helpful to us, while we are better off without some of the others. The New Testament book of James speaks of wisdom that comes from above. These important words are Brother David Johnson's sermon topic for this Words of Life program as we continue our study in the book of James. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers prayerfully support this Words of Life program in order to share the important gospel of Jesus Christ. It is always our blessing as we look to our God. And we now present singing in praise of our Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you in thanksgiving for your great blessings. We know that our hope of this life and for the life to come originate with you, and we praise you for this. Please bless each of your messengers and the effectiveness of the gospel of salvation that is shared. Help each of our listeners to grow stronger in you. Some of your faithful are being opposed by Satan with persecution. Protect each of those people and strengthen them in faith and faithfulness. We know that the next important event for Christians is to expect the promised rapture from this earth. Please help us to be ready, looking forward to the great event. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else. And we come to you to worship at your feet.
We place you.
And we come to you and worship at your feet.
Using James 3:13 through 18, Brother David Johnson will speak on wisdom that comes from above.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Wisdom that comes from heaven. And our primary text is taken from the Epistle of James as we go through this continued series, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Please listen to the Word of God. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. This is the precious truth of God. A major part of being able to tame one's tongue is to grow in godly wisdom. Wisdom that, yes, certainly comes from heaven. Godly wisdom. Godly wisdom also shows itself in godly life, which is the goal of every born-again baptized believer. The writers of Scripture and ancient philosophers valued wisdom. Generally speaking, wisdom is defined as understanding what is true, right, or lasting, having learning that leads to good judgment. Godly wisdom, however, means effectively applying God's righteous and lasting truth to everyday life. And of course, the one true God, the God of the Scriptures, and through the Word of God, to have godly wisdom. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. The Roman philosopher Cicero stated of wisdom, it's, quote, the mother of all good things, end of quote. Yet it was the Hebrews who clearly understood as a people that true wisdom was not just intellectual, but was expressed best behaviorally. Therefore, Solomon, a Hebrew, became very foolish, even in knowing God's truth, because he often failed to apply God's wisdom to his life. Today, whether Jew or Gentile, to genuinely possess godly wisdom is to manifest it in righteous living. Godly wisdom in particular is more precious than gold. The scripture writers affirm this, whereby in, for example, the Old Testament alone, we find the terms wisdom and wise about 300 times. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and most of the book of Proverbs, according to scholars. The wisdom about which Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes is from a human perspective, fleshly wisdom from below heaven, whereas Solomon's writings in Proverbs is from a godly, heavenly perspective, godly wisdom from heaven above. In our text, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, James indicates that living our lives by godly wisdom is another evidence of genuine saving faith. James begins by challenging his readers to evaluate the type of wisdom they claim as Christians. Are we truly God's people of faith, proven by right living? James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. True wisdom from above can be measured by the depth of a person's godly character and godly deeds. Godly wisdom must have fruit, evidence in our lives, lived out as Christians. James pointed out in James chapter 2 and verse 17 that says in part, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Likewise, James is emphasizing wisdom and understanding, not accompanied by a good life and by deeds, is dead. Besides living a good life and deeds when done in humility, is a sure evidence of godly wisdom. So it's a pattern of godly living, a pattern of godly deeds done humbly that really exposes having godly wisdom. A humble attitude accentuates godly wisdom lived out. Well, why is this? Think about it. Those who claim wisdom in their own abilities and achievements only are usually arrogant, boastful, the opposite of humble. Humility in our culture and understanding is often thought as a weakness. However, the original Greek word more accurately could be translated meekness is not weakness at all, but instead power under control, self-control by the power of the Holy Spirit for the born-again baptized believer. Consider in the Old Testament Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Now Moses was a very humble or meek man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Well, that is, at that time, the most humble man on the face of the earth. Some critique this statement because Moses presumably wrote this about himself. However, we should remember that the Holy Spirit led Moses to write this truth, which the Holy Spirit would not have allowed had this been false or merely a boast. Furthermore, in the immediate context of Numbers chapter 12, Moses was asserting that there was no rancor of any kind within him to provoke the attack by Miriam and Aaron against him. Possibly it could be put forward that humility, a humble attitude in a godly life with deeds, is a crowning virtue of a genuine Christian. certainly a wise and mature Christian, evidencing saving faith and maturity, to be sure. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Certainly, he who is wise and having understanding from above will endeavor to develop more humility and suppress any arrogant attitudes. Someone has written, quote, "Humility does not consist simply in thinking cheaply of oneself, so much as in not thinking of oneself at all, and chiefly of Christ, more and more," end quote. Thomas A Kempis, a medieval Christian writer, wrote these words, quote, "The more humble a man is in himself, and the more obedient towards God, the wiser he will be in all things, and the more shall his soul be at peace," end quote. Augustine, the theologian, wrote, quote, "Should you ask me what is the first thing in religion, I should reply, the first, second, and third thing therein is humility," end quote. A modern proverb goes like this, "Humility is like underwear. We should have it, but not let it show." In James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, James describes man's fleshly wisdom not from above, that is, unspiritual, and evidence, if patternistic and unrepentant, of no saving faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Man's worldly wisdom does not recognize God's word, does not recognize God's will or ways as wise for life. Notice in verse 14 that ungodly wisdom begins in the heart, the center of our being, whereby our motivations and intentions begin. A heart that has not been transformed by God is regularly inclined to self-centeredness. Someone who has not received the Savior remains committed first and foremost to selfish, self-centered priorities and pursuits. Even as Christians, we falter at times whereby envy, selfish ambition, boasting, or lying raise their ugly heads in our lives. We must confess and repent of these sins and seek God's wisdom and understanding to live uprightly and humbly. According to verse 15, we have revealed the origins of ungodly wisdom, namely as earthly, as part of this world system, as unspiritual, that is, of natural fleshly man and of the devil, as we are sorely tempted by the evil one to follow his fallen, false wisdom. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning the stark difference between God's wisdom and ungodly wisdom, writing of Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." Note in verse 16 the very conspicuous consequences of ungodly wisdom, which are disorder and every evil practice, as especially derived from envy and selfish ambition. The original Greek term translated disorder means instability, resulting in disarray and confusion, and even worse. However, God's wisdom lived out consistently brings the opposite, as the Apostle Paul again writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Believers have peace with God and can grow in the peace of God to mature to intimately knowing the God of peace. James then, in a positive vein, elaborates on some characteristics that reveal godly wisdom, which is from above, consistently lived out by God's people of genuine faith. James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Scripture connects saving faith with godly wisdom as evident fruit. Consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, which says, Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Scriptural teaching of godly wisdom is not just head and heart knowledge, which are both important, but also hands that behaviorally live out God's wisdom in our heads and hearts. According to verse 18, the result is proof of a life led and directed by God's wisdom, which is a harvest of righteousness. That is, a life characterized by right living according to God's will, not man's will. The theologian J.I. Packer has stated, quote, Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness, end of quote. The Christian writer Bill Gothard, a very practical teacher of the Word of God, has stated, quote, Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view, end of quote. Harry A. Ironside, a fine expositor of Scripture of the past, of which R.H. Bull had many of his books, stated, quote, Scripture nowhere condemns the acquisition of knowledge. It is the wisdom of this world, not its knowledge, that is foolishness with God, end of quote. Consider this true story and our application. Children will play with virtually anything they get their hands on. It's no surprise, then, that when Dutch children uncovered an unexploded World War II artillery shell, they played with it. In fact, they had games with it for several months. That shell was still live and contained high explosives. Thankfully, the deadly plaything did not explode, even as the children tossed it about. Eventually, adults learned about the shell, reported it, and it was exploded in a safe place. So, by application, consider those who are not yet spiritually mature, who often fail to recognize the danger in what they're doing. Many act like children with the world's playthings as their priorities. May we grow with more discerning and godly wisdom of the things that can explode and cause much harm in our lives and witness. May we strive to live godly lives with wisdom that comes from heaven.
The wisdom from God is so very important. We pray that you are trusting in Jesus for your salvation. If we can help you in that decision for Jesus, or if you'd like a free CD of this program, please contact us. You are listening to Broadcast 2037. That's 2037. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them over.